Good evening, everyone. This meeting of the Becker County Board of Adjustments is called to order. My name is Mike Sharp, and I will be chairing tonight's meeting. I would ask the rest of the committee members to introduce themselves, starting on my left.
Larry Knudsen, member at large.
Greg Meyer, District 2.
Dell King, District 1.
Craig Hall, member at large.
Kyle Varberg, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Nikki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Briefly go over the agenda for tonight's meeting. First item will be to approve any corrections or additions to the minutes of our previous meeting. We will then go through old business followed by new business. Protocols for this evening's meetings: administrative staff will introduce the applications. Applicants or their representatives will briefly introduce the request. I would ask that no one in the general audience direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those wishing to speak. After all the comments are received, the admin staff will read any written correspondences not in our packets. Then we will close testimony and the board will deliberate on the request. The duties of the Board of Adjustment are quasi-judicial in nature and twofold. One, to hear and decide requests from variances from the county's official controls. And two, to hear and decide appeals on and review of administrative decisions relating to the county's official controls. All decisions of the Board of Adjustment in granting or denying shall be final, except that any person shall have the right to appeal the decision within 30 days to district court. Questions regarding the appeals process can be discussed with admin staff after the hearing. At this time, I will ask the acting vice chair, Craig Hall, to read aloud the guidelines in Minnesota State Statute this board must follow in order to support or deny a variance.
Minnesota Statute 394.27, Subdivision 7. Variances and practical difficulties. The Board of Adjustment shall have the exclusive power to order the issuance of variances from the required requirements of any official control, including restrictions placed on nonconformities. Variances shall only be permitted when they are in harmony with the general purposes and the intent of the official control and when the variances are consistent with the comprehensive plan. Variances may be granted when the applicant for the variance establishes that there are practical difficulties in complying with the official control. Practical difficulties, as used in connection with the granting of a variance, means that the property owner proposes to use the property in a reasonable manner not permitted by any official control, and the plight of the landowner is due to the circumstances unique to the property not created by the landowner, and the variance, if granted, will not alter the essential characteristic or character of the locality. Economic considerations alone do not constitute practical difficulties. Practical difficulties include, but are not limited to, inadequate access to direct sunlight for solar energy systems. Variances shall be granted for earth sheltered construction as defined in section 216C.06, subdivision 14. When in harmony with the official controls, no variances shall be granted that would allow any use that is not allowed in the zoning district for which the subject property is located. The Board of Adjustments may impose conditions in the granting of variances. A condition must be directly related to and must bear a rough proportionality to the impact created by the variance.
All right. Thank you, Craig. All right, we'll move on to our first item here, which will be approval of our minutes from our October 9th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by Craig and a second by Larry. Any further discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried. First item under old business. We can introduce the first applicant.
Ricky and Sheila Van Raden requesting a variance to construct a second dwelling on two non-conforming lots under common ownership. Also to construct a dwelling to be located 42 feet from the center line, deviating from the required 53 feet. To be located 5 feet from a side property line, deviating from the required 10. And to relocate a detached garage to be located 40 feet from the center line, deviating from the required 53.
Okay. Evening, folks.
Good evening.
Hope everybody's happy. If you're a deer hunter, you bagged your deer in the last couple weeks. I've got kind of an outline, just some...
Before we begin here, could you just state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
My name is Rick Van Raden.
I'm Sheila Van Raden.
Thank you.
I just got some copies of some stuff that I'll reference through. Can I hand
bring them
out? Just make it faster for everybody. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the opportunity to kind of come in front of you and maybe point out, I guess the purpose of the board here is to affirm that a one-size-fits-all isn't necessarily in the best interest of the county or in the public, and I'm hoping to show you that my project should fit within what the county is looking for. It'll be in harmony, like you said, and I think it'll work well with the neighbors involved. So I guess I just kind of outlined it based on what the application was. The first issue was the construct a second dwelling on a non-conforming lot under common ownership. That challenge comes from a statute. I guess, you know, the benefits of me being able to do what I want to do is just that it's going to increase property taxes to the county, which is, I would think, a good thing. Maintaining the separate lots, each lot individually is going to bring in more money in total than if we were to combine the lots. It's also going to allow me to kind of clean up the aesthetics around the lake. Right now, there's, you know, I have family that comes down. I have two kids, and there's some travel trailers on there, and to make it in more conformity with the neighbors, they'd probably appreciate it, you know, that it would look more like what their property looks like. Again, that would benefit them and increase their property values. When I found out about this statute and the challenge of the statute, what I did is I got a hold of my state representative, Jim Joy, because it is the Minnesota statute that this is referencing. And I kind of put him to work on it. He was great about it. And he did some research, and his opinion was that it's still within your folks' ability to grant this, in that you know, it talks about 66% of a dimensional standard. The 66% is something that was established by the state, but the dimensional standard is something that's established by the county. And if the county establishes it, they have the ability to give variance on it as well. So he felt that this shouldn't be a problem if you folks wish to give a variance on that issue. I think, Kyle, he visited with you about it as well.
Yes, sir.
And I, you know, I don't know what impression you got from him, but
he's going to look at pursuing an amendment to it, I guess some legislation next
to
year.
Eliminate even the 66%.
Probably the entire statute,
thing.
Yes.
But again, the dimensional standard is something that you folks control. Historically, you know, these dimensional standards have changed over time. Currently, I think the dimensional standard, it's more complicated than this. You have to have a certain amount of shoreline, I guess, which, and I meet all of those other requirements. The only one that I'm short on is that 40,000 square feet that's listed there. And if you look at that, I'm really close on that. I've just about got enough in that I have 22,000 square feet. Well, the 66% would be 26,400 square feet, which is what would be required if you use the existing dimensional standard, and I'm sitting at 22,000 square feet. So I'm very close on that. My reasoning for, again, keeping this separate is, again, it's been separated for a long, long time. I don't know how far back it goes, but it's been that way forever. Let's say it that way. I have two kids, and someday I won't be here, and I would really like to be able to give each one of my kids a separate parcel so that they can enjoy and maybe do what I'm trying to do myself. I want to build because I want to move out to the lake area. So I'd like to be able to give that to my children as well. I know that from what I was told, the reasoning for this combining of lots, and this is what I was told, is that there's an issue where people will buy up properties and try and subdivide them off, build on all the little individual properties, and then sell them, make money as a developer. That's not what I'm looking to do. Again, I'm looking to maybe keep this for my children. We can move on to the other issues here. The request for variance that we're closer to the road right away, and this would be for the house. What I would, I guess, do is have you look at page 3, which will give you a fairly large overview, and you can see the road there, which runs approximately east and west, and you'll notice that the driveway, which is that shaded area, coming into the garage for the house. If you look at the corner of the house to the center of the road, that is the 42 feet. But if you look at a little closer view, look, you can turn now to page 4, and it's going to give you some dimensions there. And that's where, again, the corner of that garage is 42 feet. But based on how the driveway runs in there at an angle, you'll see from center line to actually where the cars would park in front of that garage is the 53 feet. Again, in talking with Kyle and Tyler, a big issue with the road right away is that you don't want cars hanging too close to the road when they're parked in driveways and such. That's a big issue. Well, for the house side of things, you can see that wouldn't be an issue. All the cars would be able to park, you know, up to that garage, and that garage is 53 feet at the point where the driveway is to the road. And we could probably stay right on this drawing, and I'll skip forward in my notes, because we can look at this garage that I'm looking to move. Currently, the garage that I'm looking to move is pretty much where the house is now. But if you look at the drawing number 4, you'll see more towards the bottom of the page, that would be where the garage location is moved. And you'll see the dimension shows that the north side of the garage is 40 feet from the center line. But once again, if you look at the driveway and the way the cars are going to park in this driveway, you're getting real close to that 53 feet. We're just about there. And again, I think that's the big issue. You guys can maybe speak to that shortly. If you page past that to some of the pictures, what I've done is I've kind of gone around the lake and I've taken some pictures of some properties that are in existence. That first picture with the red truck, that is actually a fairly new build. That was built within the last couple years, and you'll notice that there isn't a lot of distance between the garage and the road. And that's on Lake 6 Road. To be fair, it isn't your county. That's Otter Tail County. But it does indicate that there is some room there that people have been able to be granted variances for this type of thing. So I think that kind of discusses the road right-of-ways. The side property line, that's a property line that's going to run between the two lots that I currently own. One is in my family trust and one is in my name. So they are actually different entities at this point, just so you understand that. They're legal different entities. The lot line that would be between the existing property with they're both existing, but the property that I have my residence now is on the west side. That's the west property. And again, you could look on page, I guess I didn't really show that. But it, it's a small cabin that has been a mobile home essentially, on permanent foundation. And where I'm now going to put the proposed residence, there will be still 30 feet between those dwellings, those buildings. So that 5 foot setback off of that property line that divides my two parcels, I don't think should be much of an issue either. I think I've been told 10 feet is required. I'm trying to keep that new build as far west as I can, because I'm going to need a drain field and a mound system that's going to be placed towards the east side of the property line, and I just want to make sure I have enough space over there for that. Some of you did come out and look at the actual the markings that I put for where the build is going to be. I think if you, and I don't know if the rest of you maybe went over there, I had it marked out from the day that the original date in October for you to come look at it all the way through. You know, the property really, if you look at it, if you're standing there, it shows to me at least that there's plenty of room on this property to do what I'm looking to do. So I just, that doesn't seem like an issue to me. So that, I think, kind of goes through the list. I've talked about the combining of the lots, and I've talked about the road right away for the house. I've talked about the side property line between the existing properties. And now I've talked about the road right away for that garage that I'm looking to move. I guess I'd ask, is there questions that I can help clarify?
Have you gone to the township and discussed this with the township?
I didn't know that was something that a person should do.
Well, the main reason, the biggest issue that, you know, I get what you're saying, and it is important that we want the vehicles parked off of the road, but another big part of it is we're trying to prevent you or future owners from suing whoever the road, town road authority is, because when they're plowing that road, 42 feet from the center is a long ways closer to where that edge of that plow is going to be.
Sure.
And he's hitting all kinds of stuff and throwing it against your building. And you could say this doesn't come up. It does.
No, I'm
and that's
sure
why
it
these
does.
Things are there, especially when you're talking on a road where they can throw the snow by the lakes where it blows in quite a ways.
Right.
So that's my question is, did you talk to the township?
I haven't talked to the township. I guess I assume that looking, and I've talked to people, and it's, I think it's the first time somebody told me to talk to the township. I guess I just felt, looking at some of the other properties around the lake, that we're so much further away from that center line of that road than a vast majority of these properties around the lake.
I get that. I'm not arguing with you there, but these are things where,
yeah,
because those things were done in the past, just like people used to build 10 feet from the water.
I would love to move it back further as well. The problem with moving it further off the road is now we're starting to encroach on that setback from the water. So I guess I could certainly move it closer to the water if that would be more...
I think you have more room to move the garage, because this, we're talking more the garage than it is the house.
The garage, really, based on how the land lays in there, again, if you would have seen it out there, to move it that way would be very challenging, to move it another 10 feet that way.
Okay.
It's a really odd-shaped parcel. It just is. And the more I move it to the south, let's say, the more I'm going to start to encroach on the 10-foot line to my east neighbor. If you can see that kind of on diagram 3, you'll see that line. If I start moving it to the south or towards the lake, then I'm going to start to, because it's a pie shape, I'm going to start to encroach on that 10 foot again.
Are you willing to approach the township and just verify they have no concerns?
I think we could do that.
Because from my perspective, I agree with Craig. I would like to hear from the township to make sure their concerns are addressed and before moving forward with the variance. And I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but
was just the township notified?
Yeah.
They're always notified.
No comments?
We didn't know.
Okay. So I missed that.
They asked if we notified the township, and we do. That's a state statute that we give them a notification of what your request is, and they didn't comment.
They you gave that to them already?
Yes.
And they didn't comment on it?
No.
What does that mean? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Or
better than if they did comment.
Let's say it's a good thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad thing. If they would have, to me, as long as they knew about it, then they should have had the option of saying, we have a concern over this. If they didn't, then not a big deal.
They probably don't say it. Again, I keep referencing back to it's been done in the past. It's been done recently around the lake, you'll notice. So they are, Otter Tail at least. I can't tell you that I've seen that in Becker. But at least Otter Tail seems to believe that if, you know, that's the way it needs to be, that they would give a variance on it.
I have a question. If you move that drive south and encroach on that 10-foot setback on the sideline, how much gain can you gain? How much can you gain and not eat up that 10 feet, all of that 10 feet? Because it might be more palatable to the land to the east, is it? That's all marshy right in there, isn't it?
It's not mostly wetland over there. And that's another issue with this. From, you know, that stuff to the east will probably never be developed.
Right.
Just because as you get further into it, it gets pretty low back in there. It's wetland. I don't know if it's classified as wetland, but I don't know that it would be built on.
It looks to be. Again, how much could you move south and not eat up too much of that side setback?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
Okay. Not
just
a lot.
Just something I was looking
at. Well, 5 foot would help.
I could get 5 feet. And I don't see the number in there because I can't see well enough. There is, I think I actually have a little more than the 10 foot from the corner to that east, so I probably could get a little further to the south with the garage. But the other thing again is, and I could move the, you know, that round oval next to the garage there along that east line, looking on diagram 3 or page 3, that's the septic mount.
Yeah, when we were
and
there,
I could move that. Well, there again, that's where I think the issue is coming in. If I start to move that garage south, now I'm going to encroach onto that septic mound, and I don't have those numbers at the top of my head, but I think I'm starting to get too close to my septic mound based on regulations.
When we were there, we looked and we thought you could move that mound south further.
You think we could?
And the setback from a mound is not much, is it?
On a
from a building to a mound.
On a home is 20 feet.
20 feet?
But that's the garage.
The garage, there's no setback.
There is no setback. I misunderstood that. So, yes, I could move that garage back.
Good. Then that basically, to me, it's like it's a no-brainer then. Then I have no issue.
I mean, I'd rather.
I don't know if I'll get the full 10 feet, but I can move it as much as I can and still try and maintain that 10 feet on that east line.
Well, I think we'd give you a little on the east line. I mean,
yeah,
I'd rather
we
see
could give you down
a little
to
further
5
from the road and give.
That's what I would rather see is a distance from the road.
I'll do that. That's not a problem.
So if we say no closer than 45, because currently you're asking for 40,
right?
The way it looks.
So I could get it to 45 feet, okay. Sure enough. Because the road setback is 33 feet, right? There's two terms for that. The road setback is 33 feet, and then it's 20 feet. What's the term in there?
Well, the right-of-way is probably 33 from center.
Right. Right-of-way is 33, and then you have
setback 20.
Right.
So you'd still be in it, but you're a little bit better off if it's just making it better. So.
Sure. I didn't have a pen, I would have made the notes on that.
Oh, I see.
But you fit, well, I can remember. You'd give me down to 5 feet on that side.
On your sideline.
On the sideline. And I'll do 45 off the road for the moved garage. I can do that.
Any other questions of the applicants?
No.
Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify on the application? Okay, hearing none. Any written correspondence on this application?
No, sir.
All right, we will close testimony at this point, and the board will deliberate. Thoughts?
The only question I have, Kyle, is the state statute, we can be more restrictive but not less restrictive. So where are we at with that? You say he's going to try to change that language, but it isn't changed.
It's not changed. No, we are as restrictive as them. This would be being less restrictive. So right now he has essentially one lot because of that statute. This would make two lots.
Correct.
And that's been the hardship. He's not going to bring it up right until next session, is my understanding.
All right. But I knew that was a question we had earlier.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing? Again, in talking to Jim Joy, we went through that very clearly, and he did. He said, Rick, I can't change that 66% number unless we go to the state and change the law. But he said, they don't list in there what the dimensional standard is in the state statute for a reason. They gave you 66%, that's a hard number. But the dimensional standard isn't listed as a square footage, and the reason for that, what he dug into it, is because that is set by you folks with the county. So you folks get to determine, for purposes of what I'm doing, what that's going to be.
And again, isn't that the 22 that we have?
Yeah, I have 22,000 square feet. I'm close.
All right, any other thoughts from the board? If not, I would take a motion.
I will make a motion to approve based on the change of the detached garage moving 5 feet further away from the center of the road to 45 feet versus 40. I feel it does meet the harmony intent of the ordinance. Given the situation on the lot, he definitely has some challenges.
Okay, motion by Craig. Is there a second?
I'll second it. We have to add the 5 foot setback on the sidelines.
Okay, with that change. So we got a second by Larry, and with that change noted. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried. Variance is granted.
Thank you for the presentation.
Yeah,
thank you.
Next application.
Second applicant is Brian Grammer, requesting a variance to construct an addition to an existing garage to be located 12 feet from the right-of-way, deviating from the required 20 feet.
Is anyone here for this application? Okay. No one is here for this application. Anybody in the audience here to testify on the application?
He was here last time, yeah. Oh,
was he?
Remember, he commuted all the way down here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Had a problem with his
But he
state.
Didn't have anything flagged out, so we could see what he wanted. Yeah.
Right.
We went to it, though, and now
we
did.
Okay. Any written correspondences on
Not
the application?
There.
All right. We will close testimony. What are the board's wishes?
We went and looked at it, and it looks, I mean, it's definitely in line with what everybody else is at on that road. I mean, I could definitely meet some. That character of that locality.
It's flat surface. It's basically an urban area.
Right, exactly.
All right, would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion we approve. Based on the findings of facts, that it will not alter the character and locality of that community. It definitely fits within the intent of the ordinance.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Dell. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried. On to new business.
First applicant of new business is Patrick and Colleen Fast, requesting a variance to replace an existing dwelling with a dwelling, attached garage and patio to be located 54 feet from the ordinary high water mark, deviating from the required 100 on a recreational development lake.
Okay. Anybody here for this application?
Hi. I'm Patrick Pfaff. This is my wife, Colleen. I think you guys should have all the information, I think, in front of you, and I hope you had a chance to take a look at it. Basically, we've been going to that lake for the last 9 years with our children. They decided to get married last year, and we're starting to run out of room. So we're trying to, both of our daughters in 1 year got married, so we're trying to expand, give us a little more room to even let the son-in-laws come, I guess. So I'm not sure if you guys have any questions on any of the information that was given, but I can answer it to the best of my ability. It's an unusual lot, very wide as far as lakefront property, but very narrow. I think if you look at the variance or the information, I don't think there's actually a buildable spot on that particular lot.
So, in reviewing the application, you're going to stay roughly the same location as you are at now as far as distance from the lake?
Yep. Actually, it would be a little bit, we're turning it a little bit, so it actually gives us a little bit more distance from
more
the lake and from the road, just because of the way it turns with the cul-de-sac of the road. So gives us just a little bit more distance from both of them.
Okay.
And then the footprint's a little bit larger, right?
It is a little bit larger, yep. Yep. Adding a second story on also, so it'll go from a single story to a two-story and a little bit larger footprint.
Other questions of the applicant? Okay.
There, look at it.
Looks good.
Yep. Yeah. I thought it looked good.
Anyone in the audience would like to testify on the application? Okay. Any written correspondences?
No, sir.
Nothing. All right. We'll close testimony. The board will deliberate.
A reasonable request. It's a modest request.
Right.
Really,
that's what I would say.
Yep.
His statement's accurate too. I just pulled it up there. If there was buildable square footage there, it would be like feet in terms of the dollar cost. I don't even know if you get that.
Larry, are you willing to make an
motion?
I'm going
to make a motion to approve this application.
Okay.
It's in fact within the harmony of the ordinance and the locality.
Okay, perfect. Larry makes a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Dell. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last applicant, Shane Eskelson, requests a variance to replace an existing dwelling with a dwelling attached garage to be located 81 feet from the ordinary high water mark and to construct a deck to be located 76 feet from the ordinary high water mark, both deviating from the required 100.
Hello. Shane Eskelson. So looking to build new on my existing plot that I have right now at the same setback as the dwelling is right now.
Just basically removing the trailer house and putting on this.
Yes.
House.
All right. Any questions of the applicant from the board?
Any feedback from the township on the road?
No, I'm getting into the township.
Okay. Any further questions? Good. Anyone in the audience would like to testify on the application? Okay. Any written correspondences?
No, sir.
All right, we'll close testimony.
I think it's going to improve the property. I think it's going to put it definitely to good use.
I agree.
It definitely fits within that area and that locality.
Reasonable.
Everybody would prefer to see the house versus the trailer house. So. I'm going to make a motion to approve based on the findings of facts that it will definitely, in my opinion, only improve the property, putting it to good use, and falls definitely within the harmony and character of the locality.
Okay, we got a motion by Craig. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Greg. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion's carried.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, that's it for new business. We'll move on to other business, and we'll revisit the appeal request that we first dealt with here on the November 5th. As you recall, we had a public hearing on the appeal request in which the appellates and the respondents were able to provide an opportunity, were provided an opportunity to provide testimony on the appeal. And at the closing of testimony, the board directed legal counsel to review the appeal request and provide a draft opinion as well as findings of facts to support that opinion.
Zoom meeting or any kind of if our attorney wants to listen in or
more than welcome to listen, yeah. So public testimony has been closed, so
yeah, that's what I thought. So okay. That's what I thought.
You can certainly listen.
Yeah, that's
Kristen, are you able to hear us?
Can she can hear us, but I don't think we can.
She's not muted no more. I have my volume off.
Where is she located?
Could we just get her on your phone? Could you just call her?
Minneapolis. How about now, Kristen?
Well, then I've prepared
it. You can hear it online, but
okay.
Should we try and restart?
I can.
We're going to try and restart, Kristen. Ma'am, are you looking for a township meeting?
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Down the hall.
Down the hall. Upstairs.
I went up there. Nobody's there.
How about now, Kristen?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. You can.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, I would say you could just open it up. This is Kristen Nierengartner, our legal counsel out of Minneapolis.
Okay.
I would just open it up for any questions you may have from her.
I guess board members each received a copy here of draft opinion and draft findings of facts. Is there any questions of the attorney?
Well, I have a couple of comments. Yeah. Well, one comment for sure, and then a question, simple question. Just like the appeal, the draft, which I think is shameful that we received it less than 24 hours before this meeting, but it's full of, I don't know what you want to call it, gibberish, I'll call it. There's a simple question here, and the question is, does a zoning administrator have the authority to issue a land alt permit prior to the approval of a conditional use permit or a plat? That's a simple question. Yes or no? I guess I'm not going to get an answer, though. Are you hearing me, ma'am?
Yes, I wasn't sure if that question was directed to me.
Yes, it is.
Yes, under the terms of the ordinance, there does not have to be a conditional use permit or a subdivision plat approval prior to the issuance of a land alteration permit. What the ordinance says is that land alterations shall not be allowed unless the use is incidental to a permitted or conditional use. And so under the plain language there, or trying to make that language a little bit more plain, it's a, that means that a land alteration permit can be issued when it is, when it is incidental to, meaning related to, effectively related to, a permitted use or a conditional use. So it does not require that there be a conditional use permit, and there's no requirement in the ordinance that there be a subdivision approval prior to the grant of a land alteration permit.
So consequently, the language in our ordinance that states that you cannot move more than 50 cubic yards in an open area is null and void, basically.
So that's in a different section of the ordinance. Let me look at that briefly. So what that provision says is that no land alteration shall be made until a land alteration permit has been approved unless the movement is of less than 10 cubic yards of material on steep slopes or 50 cubic yards in other areas, or 10 cubic yards in steep slopes or within the shore or bluff impact. So that is basically the minimum or the maximum threshold that somebody can move without a land alteration permit. Okay. Except, you know,
being that there was a land alteration permit, that's no issue. Right.
So I think we need to change our ordinances because they're not clear. You say the plan reading, but they're not plan.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. No, I mean, I think after reading through it, I think I understood. I've had to go through enough of this stuff where, to me, it looks like there was no issue. That's all.
Maybe I can ask a question about, I'll paraphrase, I guess, but the commentary regarding the conversations at other meetings, I think that it was stated that that may not be relevant. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what the Board of Adjustment has authority to review is, and I don't have the exact language, although it's in the findings before you, but a decision or a ruling by the by Kyle or somebody in Kyle's position. And so, you know, commentary or discussions at other meetings aren't relevant because that's not a ruling. And so the ruling that is being appealed in this case is the land alteration permit that he issued. And so the Board of Adjustment's review is really confined to what that land alteration permit says and authorizes.
That was my point.
Yeah.
That was my point. That was my point. What's your question? There was, I mean, there's so much stuff, and it was five pages in the draft.
Well, I think what's addressed here
could have been one paragraph.
Right. I think what's addressed here is what was presented to us.
Again, the appeal
last time, so it's
the appeal was full of a gibberish too. I mean, I just don't know how other words to use. But that's attorney.
That's legalese.
Yeah. And Craig, I've dealt with some attorneys through that.
Any other questions of the attorney?
No.
Okay, so the recommendation from our attorney is to deny the appeal and affirm the administrator's grant of the LAP. Would somebody be willing to make a motion to approve? Or to approve
Mr. Chair,
that.
Yeah, go ahead. It might be of value to read that document into the record.
Want the whole thing read in?
If you would.
Yep, I can do that. Okay, so the decision and the reasons for the decisions of the Becker County Board of Adjustment on the appeal of the land alteration permit. Number one, August 4th, 2025, Becker County Planning and Zoning Administrator Kyle Barber, Administrator, issued land alteration permit LALT 2025-359 LAP into or to Prairie Lakes Investment LLC to allow for site grading and construction of gravel road in accordance with submitted construction plans. The LAP, number two, the LAP applies to approximately 70 acres on the south side of the roughly 90-acre parcel of land located in Section 31, Township 138, Range 042 in Lake Eunice Township. The portion of the property in the subject to a preliminary plat, which was approved by Lake Eunice Township Board on August 12, 2025. The northern approximate 20 acres of the property are subject to a conditional use permit, which was issued by the county on August 5, 2025. On August 29, 2025, Dave Douglas, Monica Douglas, Jeff Zeltinger, Sue Zellinger, Mike Southwick, Dennis Southwick, Joanne Southwick, Dean Miller, Sue Spitzer, and Scott Ackruth, hope I didn't butcher that, appellants applied an appeal with the Becker County Board of Adjustments to challenge the grant of the LAP. This appeal is an 11-page document which was accompanied by a copy of the approved LAP and the findings of facts and the decision to the Becker County Board on Prairie Lakes Investment CUP application. Number four, Minnesota Statute Section 394.27 Subdivision 6 grants the Board of Adjustment authority to consider appeals from any order, requirement, decision, or determination of any administrative official. Becker County Zoning Ordinance Chapter 9, Section 4 allows for aggravated person objecting to the ruling of any administrative official administering the ordinance to appeal to the Board of Adjustments within 30 days of the order, requirement, decision, or determination appeal from. Number 5, in accordance with Chapter 9, Section 4D, the Board of Adjustments held a public hearing on appellant's appeal on November 5th in compliance with the requirements of Chapter 8, Section 2 of the ordinance. At the hearing, appellants, through their legal counsel, Tammy Norgaard, presented appellant's position. Number 6, based on the written appeal and statement of the hearing, appellant's appeal focuses on the belief that the administrator exceeded his authority under the ordinance by granting the LAP. With this position, appellants presented the following arguments. A, the administrator's grant of the LAP impermissibly allows Prairie Lakes to engage in gravel mining on the property, relying on the administrator's comments at the August 5th, 2025 county board meeting where Prairie Lakes CUP was approved. B, the administrator was not allowed to grant the LAP under the ordinance because it is not incident to a permitted or conditional use. Asserting that, this means the LAP could only be issued as part of an approved final subdivision plat or CUP. C, the LAP should have been denied because there was no subdivision plat for the northern 20 acres of the property. Number 7. In their appeal, appellants ask this body to determine as follows. The approval of the CUP was improper because it is not issued pursuant to a conditional use permit or platted subdivision. B, the administrator had a conflict of interest and another county's planning director should have handled this controversial site of application for the petition of an EAW. The conditional use permit and the plat hearing. And C, the LAP must be terminated and vacated. Number 8, under Chapter 9, Section 4G, the Board of Adjustments may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirements, decision, determination, appeal from. The Board's decision and reason for its decision must be issued in writing. Number 9, the Board of Adjustments has review the LAP appellant position, the zoning ordinance, and other relevant documents and information, including all information presented and provided at the hearing on November 5th, 2026. I'm thinking that is 2025. Based on such review, the Board of Adjustments denies appellant's appeal and affirms the administrator's grant of the appeal in full, of the LAP in full. The reason for this decision are as follows. The Board of Adjustments role is limited in reviewing the rule of any administrative officials administering the zoning ordinance. See Zoning Ordinance, Chapter 9, Section 4A, and also Minnesota Statute 394.27 or 394.27, Subdivision 6. It is not the role of the Board of Adjustments on such appeal to review or critique comments of the administrator before the county board or to review the decision made by the county board. The only ruling properly or appeal here is the administrator's grant of the land alteration permit number LALT 2025-359. B, the Board of Adjustments review of the LAP is confined to the LAP itself and the activity permitted thereunder based on the LAP's plain language. The LAP relates specifically to the southern roughly 70 acres of the property and authorized land alteration for the road construction and grading of the future building lots. It does not relate to or authorize any activity on the northern 20 acres of the property, and the use that portion of the property is not relevant to the appeal. Further, the LAP does not authorize an extractive use or mining anywhere on the property. C, the Board of Adjustments does not find the administrator's comments or the county board's decision on August 5th, 2025, county board meeting of what may be allowed under the land alteration permit relevant to the review of the LAP. The LAP speaks for itself in terms of what the administrator authorized in granting the LAP. The Board of Adjustments has received no evidence credibly indicating that the administrator has or will allow land alteration under the LAP that exceeds its scope. Land alteration permits may be issued by the administrator and are governed by Chapter 8, Section 3C and 14 of the ordinance. Most relevant provisions of the LAP at issue is this appeal are found in Chapter 8, Section 3C, 1A, and 14C. Chapter 8, Section 3C1 states as follows. Land alteration shall not be allowed unless it is incidental to permitted or conditional use and does not adversely affect adjacent nearby properties. Chapter 8, Section 14C states as follows. A separate land alteration permit is not required if a permit has been granted for construction of a structure or sewer system unless the information required for the land alteration permit was not included in the application for the permit. E, the purpose of the grading and road construction authorized by the LAP is to serve intense residential use on the relevant portion of property, specifically Prairie Lakes, identified, intends to develop this area into single-family residential lots. The property is located in a general agricultural zoning district where single-family residential use is permitted, use as shown on Table 5-1 of the ordinance. Further, the LAP incorporates construction documents established measures Prairie Lakes will undertake during its land alteration activities to address erosion, stormwater, and pollution from such activities to prevent adverse effects in adjacent and nearby properties. Granting the LAP was consistent under Chapter 8, Section 3C1A of the ordinance. Appellant's argument that the administrator could not grant the LAP because it is not incident to a permitted or conditional use, since it was not issued in connection with the final subdivision plat or CUP, is unfounded. This is not consistent with the plain language of the ordinance, which allows land alteration incidental to the permitted or a conditional use. Grading and road construction are incidental and permitted single-family residential use. G, appellants may excuse me, have presented no evidence or arguments that the land alternation authorized by the LIP will adversely affect adjacent or nearby properties. While they allege that in their appeal that they are each adversely impacted by the dust, noise, health hazards, property devaluation, nuisance conditions, and traffic conditions that will arise from the gravel mine, such contention is irrelevant on appeal. The LAP does not authorize a gravel mine. After the administrator granted the LAP, Prairie Lakes received preliminary subdivision plat approval from Lake Eunice Township. This approval serves as a permit for Prairie Lakes to proceed with the steps necessary for final plat approval, including grading and road construction, which are necessary for surveying the parcel and certifying that roads are constructed consistent with legal requirements for final plat approval. As such, under Chapter 8, Section 14C of the ordinance, the LAP is no longer required for the contemplated land alteration. The Board of Adjustments does not have authority under the ordinance or state law to opine on whether the administrator has a conflict of interest, only to evaluate whether the administrator's decision subject to the appeal is consistent with the ordinance and any applicable law. As set forth above, the Board of Adjustments has determined that the administrator's decision to grant the LAP is consistent with the ordinance, and there is no evidence to suggest that the administrator's decision to grant the LAP was based on improper motive. C, the Board of Adjustments does not have authority to order the county to utilize an administrator from another county to administrator permits within the county. Upon appeal of the ruling by the administrator, the Board of Adjustments may only reverse, affirm, or amend the decision subject to appeal, not to direct the process by which the county administrator's its ordinance. There is no basis in law or in the fact for granting appellant's request relief of assigned task away from the administrator. To the extent appellant's relief, to the extent appellant's request relief relates to any deliberation process or decision other than the administrator's decision to grant the LAP, such as the petition for an EAW. The conditional use permit and the plat hearing reference in their request of relief, there is no such basis in law for the Board of Adjustments to grant such relief. There are no decisions of the administrator and are not subject to appeal. Based on the decision and reasons set forth, the Board of Adjustments denies appeal and decides to grant requested relief. Declines the grant for requested relief.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. With that, would someone like to make a motion to deny the appeal request based upon the presented findings of fact with the correction of the date on item 9 from November 5th, 2026 to November 5th, 2025?
I will make such a motion with a further textual clarification.
Okay.
I just want to point out that in paragraph 9, the alphabetical paragraphs that follow go A through G and then start at A, B, C, and D again. So on page 4, I think we should have G, H, I, J, K.
Okay, good catch, Craig. Okay.
That's not relevant to the content or the
just
decision, but I think it's important that
should
we have
be
a presentation properly.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Is there a second?
All seconds.
Second by Craig. Is any further discussion on this? If not, I will call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, with that, the appeal is denied and the administrator's granting of the LEP is affirmed. Any further business to come before the board?
No, sir.
Okay, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Motion
to
by
adjourn.
Dell. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Craig. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion is carried. We're adjourned.
On to the next meeting.